The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another broadcast of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network. And it certainly is a privilege to do whatever we can through our prayers, works, and sacrifices to foster holy vocations. For all of you who pray daily for vocations, thank you. For all of you who offer holy hours of Eucharistic adoration for vocations, thank you. Today, I want to extend an invitation to anyone who wants to actively participate in the work of fostering holy vocations, of supporting priests and religious, seminarians, and those discerning the religious life. I extend to you an invitation to become a member of the International Sarah Club. Named after St. Junipero Serra, our Serra Club of St. Louis is the largest in the world. And having been a member myself for the past 2.5 years, I can tell you firsthand it is so rewarding and important for the future of the church to be a member of the Serra Club. Serrans work behind the scenes to support our seminarians and priests. They sponsor the Chalice Program in many parishes and schools, essay contests for middle and high school students to just get them thinking about their vocation. Through their annual golf tournament, they offer financial assistance to seminarians in need. But most of all, Serrans come to know and love so many priests and religious. Something so simple as sending every priest a birthday card or a thank you card for Clergy Appreciation Day, that is all the work of the Serra Club. What can you do to foster holy vocations? Think about it, pray about it, and perhaps join the Serra Club. The Serra Club of St. Louis meets the second and fourth Wednesday of every month for prayer, a lunch meeting, and a speaker. If you want to know more, contact me on my website, pattyschneier.com. You can come and be my guest. And if you are listening in another diocese or in outlying areas of our covenant listening family, contact your local Serra Club and get involved. Whatever you do, keep praying that more and more will say yes to God's invitation. Our guest today said yes to God's call to the priesthood, and I, along with so many others, am so glad he did, because he is one awesome priest. Father Craig Holloway is our guest today. His home parish is St. Ferdinand Parish in Florissant, so I've known this man for a long time. He is the youngest of twins and two other siblings. He graduated from St. Thomas Aquinas High School and then earned his Bachelor of Arts in English at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Father Craig worked 4.5 years in the non-for-profit sector until 2005. When he entered Kenrick Glennon Seminary. 2010, he was ordained to the priesthood. He has served at Mary Queen of Peace in Webster Groves, St. Joseph Parish in Cottleville, and since 2015, he has been the pastor of St. Joan of Arc Parish in St. Louis. He's located right down the street from the studios here at Covenant Network, so he is close to home. A fun fact about Father Craig Holloway is that he is an Eagle Scout, and for 10 summers through high school and college, he worked Boy Scout camp staff. Well, welcome, Father Craig Holloway, to the Pearl of Great Price radio show.
Well, thank you, Patty. It's great to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
It is so good. I've wanted to have you as a guest on this show for a long time because, I've just said in the intro, I've known you for many years, and you're such a joyful, wonderful, holy priest, and I know our listeners, as well as myself, would like to hear your story and about your priesthood. So let's start at the beginning.
Yes.
Tell us about your family growing up. How was your family typical? Maybe what were some things that were unique. And then if there were any early seeds of your vocation that you remember from your childhood.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I would sort of a normal childhood. Probably the only thing that was a little different is that my biological mother passed away when I was 9 years old, and my dad had then remarried and has been married to my stepmother for almost 30 years now. And so, in one way, we had a very normal upbringing. We spent a lot of time with my grandparents who lived around the corner. They would take us to church all the time. My grandmother was a daily communicant, so I would see her at daily mass. In those days, we went to church almost every day at St. Pius X in Glasgow Village. So my first memory of a devotional life was nightly prayers with my parents and then going to church as a family. We sat in the same pew like a lot of
people,
you know, and it was just a great experience. And I look back at my childhood and really see those seeds planted there, just the devotion that especially my grandmother, my grandma Babin, who's still alive in her 90s, my parents, of course. So, but in a lot of ways, very, very normal, I would say.
That's beautiful. I love how you said, you know, pointing out your grandparents and your grandmother in particular. There's so many grandmothers that wonder, do my kids even care? Do they notice? Is anybody watching? They are.
Oh, yeah.
That power of a praying grandmother, the daily, like you said, the daily communicant, the witness of that really is a huge example.
Absolutely.
It's priceless. So describe your high school years, your college years. Were you a pious student thinking about the priesthood? You're laughing. Okay, so what were your gifts and talents? What were you like during those years?
Okay.
But then when did you make the faith your own?
Yeah, so in high school and college, I would say that I was hot and cold. So through the 4 years in high school and then the 5 years it took to get through college, and even after college, I was hot and cold.
That's interesting. Hot and cold.
I mean, I would be totally devout and would be a regular mass goer, frequent prayer. Spent many hours at the Adoration Chapel at St. Ferdinand. Mm-hmm. And then I would go stretches where I didn't go. When we turned 16, my dad said, your mother and I are going to continue to go to church. You're either welcome to come with us or not. And we all stopped.
No way.
So it really wasn't until after college that I rediscovered a love of the church, a love of the mass. I always knew something was missing when I didn't go to church.
So what made you rediscover it? Where were you? Did you go on a retreat? Was it friends that invited you back? Or was something happened in your life that just made you decide to go back?
It was an internal invitation from desire. In other words, I knew I was missing something.
Okay.
And it turned out that what I was missing was an interior life with God, a faith life with God. Because at that point after college, I mean, I had a job. I was making a really good living. I had two great roommates. We were doing all the things that, you know, healthy and wealthy single men do, but there was something missing. And so it took a while to figure out what that something was. But once I discovered, the job that I was working, it took me to Columbia, Missouri, where I ended up living alone. I was working alone. I had a job where it was just sort of me and my computer and my phone. And so I got involved with the parish in Columbia, Our Lady of Lourdes, and really started taking a prayer life seriously, a devotional life seriously. And that was sort of the seed that originated this idea that, you know, maybe I might be called to discern a vocation to the priesthood.
Okay, so what were your initial thoughts? Was that scary at first for you to even think of that, or was it just a peaceful?
No, it was very peaceful.
Really?
It was very, I'll never forget, I had it was Mother's Day 2005, and I had come back to St. Louis to see the family, and I was driving back to Columbia, and I'd had sort of an experience at my work where I thought, you know what? I just can't see myself doing this for the next 40 years.
The phone, the computer,
the
desk. The
phone, the computer, the whole. I just couldn't see myself doing that. And then, so that then begged the question, Well, what might I do? Well, all of this was coinciding with the death of John Paul II and the conclave that was going to elect Benedict XVI. And so that just got all of these thoughts and desires about, well, what is it that I can use my gifts and talents to do something to help others and to contribute and to make a difference? And that then led to, so I was driving back to Colombia. I was praying a rosary. The sun was setting, and it was just clear as day. Craig Thomas called the vocation office.
No way.
And so the next day, I called Father Mike Butler, who was the director of vocations at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Mother's Day in May. And by July, I resigned my job, cashed in my 401k to pay off some bills.
Wow.
And by August, was back in St. Louis and entered the seminary on August the
whatever it was.
15th, sure. Whatever it was.
Okay, here's what I love about that. So you're driving in the car. You are all by yourself. You're alone. I love that because that's just, again, you're mm-hmm. just, it's that drive time. You're praying. And clear as a bell, you just, that thought,
yeah.
Craig Thomas, call the vocations office.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is that's all you needed. So
yeah.
many people will say, well, I need another sign or another sign or another sign. No, that was it. Clear, one thing. Like St. Joseph in a man,
that's right.
You know, and then you acted on it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Joseph, the message from the angel was go to Egypt.
Right.
Right? And so he goes to Egypt. The angel doesn't give him continuing instructions.
No.
Right?
God. And yours was just call the vocations office. That's it.
And
just do this one thing.
One thing led to another.
Right. One thing. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. I think maybe that could be the message of this whole, you know, radio show week after week is just do it. When you
sure.
get that prompting, when you get that
right.
inkling, you got to trust it.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you are at prayer.
Exactly.
Oh, that is so awesome. That
yeah.
is so beautiful. Okay, so what experiences influenced you the most during your seminary formation? So it had to be somewhat of an adjustment. You were already graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
You had been working out in the workforce. You come back
right.
to the seminary. You're back in school again and with
right.
maybe men, some older, some younger. But
right.
what were some of those formational things in the seminary? What was most helpful for you?
Mm-hmm.
Or what do you remember most about those seminary years?
I would say that what was most formative was the example of the holy priests at the seminary who were our formators, Monsignor Ted Wojcicki, mm-hmm. Father Don Hankey, Father Larry Brennan, Paul Rothschild, Edward Richard, all of these great priests that were there to model for us what priesthood looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Then one component of our seminary formation was the pastoral program in the parishes,
yes.
where we would spend time during the week and then on the weekends being in the parish, being with the pastor, worshiping with the community, seeing and participating in just a little taste of priestly ministry.
Yes.
And once I had that experience and being assigned to great priests and pastors in the archdiocese, I was sold.
I was sold.
I thought, you know, this is... Oh, so that coincided with hearing a homily by Father Gary Brown, who was then and still is the director of the Catholic Student Center at WashU.
Right.
And
yeah.
I heard him preach a homily where he talked about the early Christians were followers of the way. They didn't call themselves a church until much later. Instead, they were followers of the way. And Father Gary went into this homily about, well, what is this way that Jesus calls us to live as Christians? What is this way that he invites us to walk? And I thought, and God placed on my heart, and I heard him say, this is the way of life that I want you to live.
For you, this is the
this
way.
This is the way I want you to live. Mm. I want you to teach and preach and minister in the church.
Mm.
I want you to, this is the way I want you to spend your life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that
and that's
was,
what every vocation is. It's
right.
the way for us to spend our life.
Right. And you know, I will say too, Patty, that I didn't hear that homily until 2.5 years into the seminary.
Mm.
So
Yeah, part of your formation.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like you walk in the seminary, they close the door, and, you know, in 5 years, poof, you're made a priest. You
right.
You have to get there, you know?
Yes.
You have to be formed and molded and learn. And
walk along the way a little bit.
And walk along the way, exactly.
Exactly. That is so awesome. Okay, well, I want to get to this next question because you
sure.
were recently given the Excellence in Preaching Award. So I know that this is a big part
Thanks.
Of your – congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
A big part of your – ministry is
Thank
preaching.
You.
So how do you prepare your homilies, or what would you say is most important to you when you preach? Because I know people in your parish and they absolutely love you and your homilies
well,
are phenomenal. So what are some of those secrets?
Very good. Yeah, well, the first thanks to the Aquinas Institute for the recognition and for family and friends and the church community that I was able to share this great honor with, and I'm very grateful for the recognition. So I love to preach. It's a very important part of my priestly ministry, and I think any priestly ministry. We're called to celebrate the sacraments and to preach the gospel and to minister to God's people. And so preaching is a very important part of what we do. I would dare say that it's probably the most important part of what we do in addition to celebrating the Eucharist. Preaching on a Sunday Mass and during the week, it's a 8.5 minute, 9.5 minute opportunity to teach and to inspire and to invite people to encounter God and to encounter Jesus and to follow him on the way that they're walking.
Sure.
And so I start early. I start prepping the Sunday night before the next Sunday. I print off the readings and I read through them and I start reading commentary. I've got a stack of Bible commentary books that I read, just looking for one thought, one word, one insight that might begin to germinate into a homily. I lead a Bible study. That's where I was right before I came here. I lead a Bible study every Thursday morning. I lead a Bible study with parishioners, and we just sort of bat it around. You know, we talk about the readings, and if there's an idea or a word that just stands out,
then you just go with it.
We just go with it. And then I take that to prayer. I spend a lot of time in silence. I spend a lot of time alone. I spend a lot of time praying and just waiting for the Spirit to begin to build things up that will turn into a homily.
I love it. It's almost like almost a volcano until it's ready to just come out.
Exactly.
And then it probably comes out on your computer a little bit, or notes or whatever.
Sometimes it doesn't come out until the, you know, 10 after 8 on the
I love it. I love it. Okay, so besides preaching, mm-hmm. what are some of the greatest joys that you have had in your vocation throughout these years, almost 10 years mm-hmm. now, as a priest? What are some of those greatest joys? And then I'm going to ask you, just to be ready, what have been some of the greatest challenges? So maybe you know, bookend that.
Sure.
Let's start with the joys first.
Okay. Some of the greatest joys are just being with the church community on Sundays, just being together, praying together, and then, you know, Donut Sundays. And
you gotta love Donut
you know,
Sundays.
just any opportunity where the parish community is together,
right?
And
that's
you
the purpose.
Feel parish community, and you have an event where the whole parish is there. You got young and middle and old, and we're all there. Mm-hmm. And there is just, we have a fish fry, and at fish fries, everybody is there, and there is nothing better than being together, and then that same group gets together to pray together and
right.
to work together, and that's just, it's so joyful, you know, it's just, it's community, and Christ is at the center of our creed, because we're doing it for him, we're doing it through him, we're doing it in him, and any chance we get to do that is...
It's beautiful.
Feeds the soul.
Absolutely. All right. Now, what are some of the greatest challenges? Because you've been pastor now for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And what would you say is the challenge of the priest today?
The greatest challenge for the priest is going to be walking with our people as we reimagine parishes and schools.
Mm.
And
sometimes that's hard.
Yeah, and that is difficult. And so being with our people, walking with our people, guiding our people, praying with our people, that's not easy. You know, it's fun when it's fun.
Right? But you're there in the good times and the bad.
Exactly.
For the parish.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Okay. So quick response in our last couple minutes here. I do these quick response questions to get just a glimpse of you, because I love hearing about what maybe who's your favorite saint. Well, who comes to mind right away when I say who's your favorite saint, or the one that has most influenced your life?
St. Peter.
St. Peter. Why?
Yeah. Peter was kind of a bumbler, you know. He wasn't always with it. You know, he was hot and cold. I'm going to be hot and cold sometimes.
There you go. Okay, I love it. So you can relate to him for that. Favorite prayer, when you have a go-to prayer, what is it for you?
The Hail Mary, in particular, pray for me now. And at the hour of my death.
Yeah, now. It's the Hail Mary.
Pray for me now.
Absolutely. Okay, what is, as a preacher and where you are preaching about the Word of God, do you have some favorite scripture verses or anchors in your life?
Oh, jeez.
I know, out of the whole Bible, right?
Oh,
I'm asking you to pick one.
I would say, you know, Matthew 10:8 is a favorite.
Which is?
Freely you have been given, freely you are to give.
Mm.
I am the bread of life. All the I am statements from John's gospel, where Jesus gives us definitive look at who he is.
Those
I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I love those.
I love that. That's beautiful. Okay, most life-changing book you've ever read?
Whoa. I'm going to say scripture. I'm going to say the Bible.
Sure.
In particular, John's gospel and all of Paul's letters. Wow.
Okay. And final question. What do you wish people knew about the priesthood, or what would you say to a young man or his parents who are maybe hesitant, are afraid to act on that prompting that they may be feeling?
Oh, it's a beautiful life. It is a beautiful way to make a gift of the self to the Lord, to the church, and to God's people.
Oh, that's awesome. Father Craig Holloway, we're going to end with that because we're out of time, but thank you
for sharing.
Thank you for sharing your story. And again, like you said, the beautiful way, you are living it out in such a beautiful way. Thank you so much for being our guest today. We want to conclude by praying for vocations with all of our listeners, and then could we have your blessing?
Amen.
All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And may God walk with all of us today and help us to reach out to others in need. And may he continue to bless us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Father Craig Holloway, thanks for being our guest on The Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you, Patty.
All right, join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to hear previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.